Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful tribute to Richard Smallwood. This morning, a couple of announcements I need to make. We won't be having Bible study on Wednesday. We'll be with the St. John Regular Baptist District Association Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And they'll be convening at St. James on 3417 MLK. That's when multiple churches come together to learn and to grow. We do invite you to come out specifically on Wednesday night. On Wednesday, I will have the opportunity to bring the lecture. And so we do invite Ebenezer to come out. Everybody was here that was at the inaugural investiture. They're going to be checking you out, Ebenezer, to see. They're going to come and see if you'll follow me. I'm just saying. I'm just forewarned is forearmed. I do want to thank music department today. Amen. I know it's somewhat of a quiet Sunday, but every once in a while you need a Sunday like this. You need a Sunday where you just listen and really be able to pay attention, because there is a time for noise and there is a time for silence. There's a time to grow and there's a time not to grow. And so we are grateful to them. We look forward to Friday. Since he made it formal or something, I guess I can call it a date night. Maybe I can call it. Maybe I can get away with it with the first lady that is Friday. Let's go to a date night at Ebenezer. She's like, well, we have date nights all the time at Ebenezer. So I do look forward to celebrating that recital with him, because I look forward to future recitals that hopefully in the fall, our little ones, when they play their little instruments in the band and at school, or, you know, even in church, we'll bring an have them an opportunity, to come together and share, in the fall. But I had to, and so we look forward to growing and having more, recitals. If you would, we would like to call your attention to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. And we really want to unpack one verse, and that is verse 16. Matthew, chapter 10. Verse 16. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of Matthew, these words are recorded. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents or shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Let me read it again, and if you could, please note that it's in red, and the words of Christ are in red. These are words Jesus spoke. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We read into hearing Matthew 10, verse 16. We ask that there be a blessing to God's word. We want to tag this text simply, a balanced life. A balanced life. There's a bit of a cultural phenomenon happening among our young people. It's a simple trend, but I've lived long enough to watch trends turn into truths. It started off as nonsensical. But for some reason, some people will take hold to it and begin to guide their lives based on this trend. And I don't want to add to it, but this trend of 6-7. I know if you Google it right now, it'll tell you that it's nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense. And poison is often that way. The problem that I have with it is that, you know, if you watch, the world was Black Lives Matter. Then it went to All Lives Matter. Then it hits this trend where it's going to lead to No Lives Matter. That's the danger of nonsensical things. It can lead to more dangerous problems. And I understand it. It has enough truth to bait you. It has enough truth to catch your eye and your heart, because there is a fine line between 6 and 7. 6 and 7 can go either way. It's, you know, McDonald's or Burger King. They're both killing you. It's go either way. It's, you know, the difference between the two is, could go either way. It could, whether I give them a piece of my mind or I just simply walk away. It could go either way. You know, I can use foul language. I could go off on people just like you. I haven't forgotten. I tell people, God saved me and put me in a chain link fence. I can still see myself. Amen. But it matters. These things sometimes, these small things matter. See, small decisions makes our destiny. Our destiny is created by our decision. And life requires balance. It requires that we balance between good and evil. We have to balance between reaping and sowing. We have to balance, even the church has to balance between our giving and our receiving. We have to balance between our spending and our saving. Here in chapter 10, I believe Jesus gives us a perfect prescription for a balanced life. How to live a balanced life. He holds opposing principles in tension to teach us how we ought to live this life. He recognized, first of all, that the assignment that Jesus gives us is a difficult assignment. It's not assignment for the cowardly. It's not assignment for the timid. Jesus, in fact, says, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. He knows that we're going into a hostile environment. When you leave this place, I'm telling you, you're going to find some wolves. They're predatory. They're out to kill you. They're out to destroy you. They're out to bite you. Jesus says, and he is clear about this, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. You know, there was a movie a few years ago that a lot of people fell in love with. Kevin Costner, it was some baseball flick. And in the flick, he'd always say, if you build it, they will come. You know, a lot of church folk fell into that. A lot of that little simple trend done destroyed a lot of people's lives. Because they think if they just simply build it, we build the church, we build the program, if we build the plan, we build the procedure, if we build, we build, they will come. No, brothers and sisters, that's the field of dreams. Jesus says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. And you know, you can't tame a wolf and turn them into a sheepdog. Amen. They bite the sheep too much. Like, hey, wait a minute. He just got to the fence. He ain't got to take his head off. It's just
Just bring them back into the passage. Don't have to, okay, we're going a little off. But he lets us know that we're living in a hostile environment. We want to change the world into a nice, comfortable pasture for us. But it's not. Jesus is clear. He sends us forth into a mean world. He sends us forth into a world that would rather kill you than help you. Rather take from you than to add to you. This is the reality, that we live in a hostile environment. But yet we're called to be a witness. We're called to be disciples. We're called to be believers. We're called to let our light shine even in a dark world. Seems impossible on your own to just go out as sheep among wolves. But yet Jesus prescribes a prescription. I got a prescription earlier today, for chill pills. I only got about 24 of them, so I'll probably be done with them at the end of the day. I'm going to take them, popping them in my mouth. But here is the prescription that Jesus prescribes. And I pray this morning that you heed this prescription. We're not living this life just wandering about. We are sent by our master to go into a hostile world. And he writes the prescription, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. We have to hold in opposition these two principles in tension. The strength mind of shrewd of a snake and the sensitive heart and the innocence of a dove. We have to hold them in tension. How are we both to be strong-minded, shrewd like snakes, and be sensitive in our hearts and innocent as doves? I got to tell you, I had a little problem right here. I have a little problem because I hate snakes. I'm telling you, I have a real phobia when it comes to snake. I mean, I suffer from snake-ism. I have never met a good snake. Every snake I met, I tried to destroy. I can't stand a snake. If I see a snake, either the snake or I gonna have to leave that space. You can't make a pet out of a snake. You can't put a leash around a snake and walk it down. They don't have no snake parks that you can take your snake to. You are not supposed to make a pet out of a snake. That snake is looking at you as dinner. The only good snake is a dead snake. Listen, I go to San Antonio and stop at the snake farm for one reason and one reason only, so I can taunt and tease snakes. So next time we take a field trip to San Antonio, we're going to have to stop by the snake farm. I can't stand the snake. But Jesus says you have to be shrewd like them. So I had to look into it, and I discovered one thing about a snake. A snake is a snake is a snake. A snake is a snake is a snake. A snake is a snake in the woods. A snake is a snake in the city. A snake is a snake in the winter. A snake is a snake in the summer. A snake is a snake. But Jesus is saying that believers and disciples ought to be the same way mentally. A disciple is a disciple. A child of God is a child of God. For in Austin or in Houston or in Dallas or in New York City, a child of God is a child of God. So what is it? What is this one quality about a snake that Jesus wanted us to emulate? He said it's in our discerning and our decisions. A snake is a snake. A disciple is a disciple in their decisions and their discernment. A snake would always do what is in the snake interest. And a believer, a disciple, is to always do what's in the best interest of our Savior. We ought to be strong-minded. We're not still deciding and looking for a Savior. I found my Savior in Jesus Christ. My mind is made up. My heart is fixed. There is no turning back. It doesn't matter what happens in this life. What goes, I have made up my mind. I had a friend, and y'all gonna get tired of my friends. I'm like, Robinson needs some new friends, cause his friends are straight up trifling. I have a friend, and this was years ago. I was just called, to the ministry, and you know, I was 6'5", had a high top fade, a size, you know, looked like I was 7 foot tall, 200 pounds. I was beautiful creature, and time done caught up to me, and it shrunk me down, took my hair. But I told him I was called to preach. And so he said, so what you gonna do? I said, I'm going. You know, I feel called to preach. And he said, if Jesus asked you, I said, yeah. He said, I ain't finished. I'm not finished. Let me finish. If Jesus asked you to jump out of a parachute, I said, yeah. He said, yeah, let me finish. If Jesus asked you to jump out of a parachute, would you do it? I said, yeah. He said, you wouldn't think about a parachute? You wouldn't think about a need for a parachute? I said, if Jesus told me to jump out of a plane, I would assume he considered it. Since he's smarter than me. Since he knows more than me. If he done looked at the situation and done decided that I need to jump out of this plane, it's the best course of action. I am assuming he thought about all possible solutions. And then he said, but you could jump to your death. Aren't you worried that you could jump to your death? I said, yeah, that's one possible solution. I said, another possible solution is that the plane never left the runway. So it might just be a 4 or 5 foot jump. What I need with a parachute. I said, it might be over water. I said, it might be some problem with this plane. And Jesus said, get out of it and I'll figure out the landing on your way down. Listen, we go out as sheep among wolves, but we have to have discerning and decisive mind because Jesus is the one who sent us. We go in his name. Knees shaking, stomach upset, eyes blurred, but I'm going in Jesus' name. Hands shaking, ain't sure of all the answers, but I'm going forward in Jesus' name. A good disciple has to have a decisive mind, have to already have their mind made up. We're not to be fickle. We're not to be this way or that way. We're not to be undecisive. We are to know that we know that we know that we are a child of God. You see, we have to be involved in strategic thinking, wisdom above our years. We have to be strong-minded in order to protect our mission. You see, a strong mind requires a balance of a sensitive heart. It is balanced by our sensitivity in our heart. You see, a strong mind with an insensitive heart is cold, detached, and critical. A strong-minded person with an insensitive heart, they value possessions over people. They're more concerned about projects than growing people. But Jesus calls for us to be balanced, a strong mind to be balanced with a sensitive heart, shrewd as serpents or snakes, but innocent as doves. It is the sensitivity, the innocence of a dove. And he called for us to examine the dove in one way and one reason only. And that is because the dove represents innocence and purity. You see, when the Bible wants to speak about wings, it don't talk about the dove. When it wants to talk about wings, it talk about the eagle. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up on wings like an eagle. But here, when he's talking about being innocent and pure, he uses the illustration of a dove. A dove is one of the few birds that could be offered in the sacrifices. You could actually bring a dove because it represents purity and innocence. On the day that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, we're told that the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. Here, a dove represents our purity and our innocence. It represents our compassion and clean motives. We're not to be naive. We're not to be gullible, but we ought to be gentle with boundaries. We are to stay tender in a tough world. We are to stay sensitive in an insensitive world. We are to be as sensitive as a dove, as innocent as a dove. Our heart has to remain pure. In fact, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We have to protect the purity of your heart if you want to see God. And I'm not talking about in your final destination. I'm not talking about when we die and go to heaven, then we'll see God. No, I don't need to see God when I get to heaven. I need to see God right now. I need to see God in 26. I need to see God in January. Matter of fact, I need to see God this week. The way that we see God is keeping our hearts pure, keeping our hearts innocent. We don't become wolves in order to attract wolves. We're called to be sheep. We're called to be sheep of his pastor. And so we have to have a sensitive heart for people. When you have a sensitive heart for people, sometimes you have to sacrifice the grade. Oh yeah, I like all A's like everybody else. But I didn't graduate with all A's. I graduated, thank you, Lordy. Cause them C's was passing. That's what, all I'm saying, you can get through this life with a couple of C's, with a couple of C's on your transcript. But we have to have some sensitivity as it relate to others. But a sensitive heart with a weak mind is sentimental. A sensitive heart with a weak mind would rather copy than be creative. A sensitive heart with a weak mind is fearful of change and going forward simply because they are not sure. They only are willing to do what has been done before. A sensitive heart with a weak mind would rather do what their neighbors are doing than to listen and to hear what thus says the Lord. But in this life, in these times in which we live, God is calling for us to have a balanced life. He's calling for us to have a strong mind and a sensitive heart. A strong mind will plan. A strong mind will investigate. A strong mind will do his research. But a sensitive heart will keep the people in front of you. A sensitive heart will make sure you care for those that are in the nursing home, care for those that are in the hospital, as well as those that are in pre-K, those that are in nursery school, those that are in elementary. A compassionate, sensitive heart cares about us all. And God is calling for us to have a strong mind and a sensitive heart. A sensitive heart will protect your character. When the world comes against you, a sensitive heart will protect your heart. So here we are. Jesus has described the world in which we are approaching as hostile, predatory, out to get you. Really don't want to hear what you have to say. He reminds us that we ought to have a balance, that we got to be strong-minded, but also sensitive in our hearts. We have to hold these principles in tension. And isn't it a wonderful example that we have in Jesus? In Jesus, he had the strong mind, but he also had the sensitive heart. Yes, he had the strong mind to recognize sin, but he also had the sensitive heart to forgive it. He had the strong mind to make his way to the cross, but he had the sensitive heart to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had both the strong mind and the sensitive heart. And brothers and sisters, as we go, let us be reminded who sent us. It is Jesus that says, I am sending you. It is Jesus that is saying to us, I'm sending you out. And brothers and sisters, you ought to be able to trust Jesus. Because I heard in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. And if my shepherd says go, I'm going. If my shepherd said go, go, gotta go, gotta go. When the shepherd says go. But as we go, let's maintain a strong mind. We don't just swallow everything. We might grin and laugh and smile and say it's okay, but we don't believe everything. We don't believe every tale that's told, every gospel that's spoken. We stay focused because we got a Savior to serve. We have a Savior to be a witness for. We have a Savior in a dying world. We are the light. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are his people, and we ought to live a balanced life, be strong-minded, go to school, be sensitive-hearted, come to church. Yeah, see that one coming to church. And it's in this balanced life that Jesus is calling for us to live, because he is the example. We too can live with a strong mind and a sensitive heart. It was, may God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we want to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. It's this time in the program, in the service, where you have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. As the deacons come and the greeters come, they're come to walk with you if you need somebody to walk with you. So if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your opportunity to come is right now. Secondly, if you have accepted Jesus Christ but do not have a church home to work out your soul salvation, we invite you to Ebenezer. Ebenezer is a wonderful place to go to heaven from. Work what you learn and grow and develop in Christ. If you accept Jesus, and that's one, two is Christian experience, and if to our college students who are in Austin, away from home, we invite you to our watch care program. We will watch over your soul like it's our own. We will care and train for you. And so that is what this invitation is for, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to come and unite with Ebenezer Third Baptist Church, and thirdly, to come under our watch care service. If there's nothing else, at this time we extend the invitation. We invite you to come. Come to the Lord. Will you come?
More.